This is the last Sunday of 2019, last week. On Wednesday, we will start a new year. And beginning in 1990, I started preaching this sermon. And I have different forms of it, but it's basically looking back on the year and making some decisions regarding whether we are pleased with what we've done or whether we would like to make some serious changes in what we've done. One of the wonderful blessings about being a Christian is that we can repent. We can change our mind and we can start over and be forgiven for the mistakes that we've made and for the choices that we've made that wasted time, and we can be brought back into a right relationship with God. In 1999, I put together six albums of all of our pictures. We had a big box of pictures. I'm sure a lot of you have boxes of pictures with all of your kids and all of your... So one year, I just went ahead and I took 15 years worth of pictures. My daughter when she was born, us before we had children, and then all the way up. And as I note here, my children were 14, 12, and 10 when I did it, and I was really struck. I've kind of drawn the conclusion that pictures are really nice when you're taking them, but when you get old and you look back on them, there's so much nostalgia that sometimes it's not all that pleasant to look at them because you remember so many wonderful things and they're gone now. But I was struck by that, and it created within me an interesting set of emotions that led me to see in a graphic way how brief life is. Looking at pictures, do it sometimes. Sit down and just look at your pictures and think about how quickly you have changed from that little child to the person that you are now. And of course, the older we are, the more graphic the changes are, but it's a very powerful thing. And God wants us to do this. And so when we read verses like this, "Lord, make me to know my end, and what is the measure of my days, that I may know how frail I am. Indeed, you have made my days as handbreadths, and my age is nothing before you. Certainly, every man at his best state is but a vapor. Surely, every man walks about like a shadow. Surely, they busy themselves in vain. He heaps up riches, does not know who will gather them. And now, Lord, what do I wait for? My hope is in you." I think within this passage is one of the main reasons most of us ultimately become Christians and most of us ultimately remain faithful to God. It is the realization of the impermanence of life. We could all die this week, even if we're in our teens, even if we're in our 20s or 30s. We see it all the time. People cut off in the prime of life. You probably heard the story already of the 18-year-old shopping with his family at the Aurora Mall and somehow got into a confrontation with another young man. He was shot and killed. He was 18 years old. And of course you say, well, that's not going to happen to me. Well, we don't know that. And so we need to learn to know our end. The smartest thing that we can do, we try to instill this in our children. When our children start high school, we try to help them understand. When you graduate from high school, you're going to stand at the threshold of your life. If you take advantage of the opportunities that you have to get good grades, to develop yourself, maybe take in extracurricular activities, learn how to play an instrument, maybe play some sports, maybe get involved in some of these acting clubs or different things just to develop your mind. And so here we are standing at 18, graduated from high school, looking forward and realizing that what I've just done with the last 4 years is going to determine what my future can become. If I've taken good advantage of it, then I'm poised to continue to do great things. If I wasted and squandered it, it's gone forever. That happens when we're in high school. It happens when we're on the job. It happens as we raise our family. It happens as we live our lives. And someday, as our lives are drawing to a close, we look back on our life. Do you want it to be with regret? Do you want it to be a life where there's nothing? There is nothing after this life unless you are a Christian. And so this man says, "Help me see that." help me understand what the end will be. And there's lots of ends, as I say. There's the end when I graduate from high school. There's the end when I retire from my job. There's the end when my children leave home and start their own lives. And I'll have regrets. But this passage helps us all to understand the brevity of life and the consequences of not making good choices. And this is something we all have the opportunity to do. And brethren, I can tell you, there's not a single person in this room that doesn't have some regrets. We look back on our high school years, as we look back on our marriage, as we look back on the way we raise our children, as we look back, and some of you are going the other way, but someday you'll be here. And so at the end of each year, we need to reflect. We have spent 2019. It's gone. Now, I don't know if you used it wisely. I don't know if you read your Bible readings every day like many of us are doing. Learn how to pray every day. Learn how to draw near to God. What kinds of things did we do this year? In 1996, which was 5 years later, I introduced the idea of mileposts. I keep looking for new ways to develop this. And so some of you are going to be driving this week. And as you're driving, the interstates have mileposts, and they tell you where you are on your journey. And I think that that's a very graphic way to realize that God has done the same thing with us. At certain periods in our life, as I say, as you leave your childhood years, you look back on childhood. As the Ecclesiastes wrote, he said, youth and childhood are vanity. And I think most of us can look back now and look at what we did in our youth, and we can just cringe and shake our heads and think to ourselves, I sure did some foolish things. Did some good things. But there's some things back there that I'm not proud of. I'm not happy with. I wish they'd never happened. And so these mileposts are critical to give us a heart of wisdom. And so I went ahead and put a few of these up here. You've all seen them. And they are all given for a specific purpose, so we know where we are. There's a terrible accident on the road, and the ambulance driver says, where am I going? Well, you're going to milepost number 79. Well, if I am at milepost 79 in my personal life, that means that my life is drawing to a close. And so we have a verse that deals with that. We finish our lives like a sigh. The days of our lives are 70 years. And if by reason of strength they are 80 years, yet their boast is only labor and sorrow. For it is soon cut off, we fly away. Now, if you're in your teens, you'll read this verse and you'll say, that doesn't mean anything to me, because it doesn't. And that's all right, because in our youth, we have to learn this wisdom from other people. But as we get older, when I hit milepost 20, when I hit being 20, when I hit being 30, and I look at my life, and I start seeing at 30 whether my life's going to be a success, a financial success, a marital success, a success with my children, a success with my Lord and my Christian walk. And I get this opportunity, and if I don't wake up at 30, then I'm going to have to wait till I hit 40. And maybe at 40, some of us are thinking, you know something? Life is short. And the things I thought that were so important in my 20s and 30s, I'm beginning to realize they're just temporary. They're just that vapor that God talked about. And it's time for me to make some serious reevaluations. Now, the sooner we do that, the more successful our life's going to be. Now, that's true in the secular realm, but I'm not dealing with the secular realm. I'm using the secular realm as a physical illustration. If you want to be successful in your career, if you want to be successful in your marriage, if you want to be a successful parent, you have to take certain steps at the right time, or you have a lifetime of regret. I was talking to a friend of mine, and he said, I might come visit you. The snow kept him from coming, but he said, my son, he lives in Longmont, he said, my son has to go for a funeral. An 18-year-old took their life. Can you imagine how a parent would feel if their 18-year-old daughter took her life? Now, it may have had nothing to do with them, but that's not how we think in a situation like that. We don't think about, well, it's all their fault. If we have any sense at all, we're thinking about, what did I do? Oh, how I wish I had talked to them. Oh, how I wish I had disciplined them differently or trained them differently or given them spiritual values differently. It's an agonizing thing to lose someone by their own hand. And yet, I was reading yesterday, it's kind of an interesting article, talking about how the longevity of our nation, we used to average an age somewhere in the 80s. It's shrinking. You know why it's shrinking? Because of drug addiction deaths with this fentanyl and opioids, and because people are taking their own life. Now, both of those are indications that people are not happy. People don't get involved in drug addiction if they're living. Now, I'll be very careful here, because there are some people who get into an accident and they start on a pain medication and they go down that road and they have to come back. But a lot of people are into drugs only for recreation. And people who like their life and enjoy what they're doing and are too busy and don't want to be hindered by the inability to reason, they don't like drugs. But the thing that kills me is so many people are taking their lives. They think that's a solution. The hopelessness that describes is just beyond belief. So what does he go on to say in verse 11? Who knows the power of your anger? For as the fear of you, so also is your wrath. So teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. We need to have mileposts in our life, and we need to set goals. What do I want to be at such and such an age? What do I want to be able to accomplish? We learn one thing through the scriptures. God only uses prepared people. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, he says, in a great house there are vessels for gold and vessels of earth. Some for honor, some for dishonor. If you purge yourself, you can be a vessel for honor. In other words, God can use you. Wouldn't you rather be an Abraham than a Judas? Wouldn't you rather be a David than a Saul? They're both in the scriptures, people who destroyed their lives and failed their lives and will throughout all eternity rue the way they chose to live their lives. I want you to think about this when you're standing before the judgment bar of God. To hear what your eternal fate will be, I will guarantee you that these kinds of sermons will be very precious to you if you listen to them. So the days of our lives, we finish our years like a sigh. So teach us to number our days. Where are you? 20? 30? 40? If you died today, are you ready? What has to happen for you to be ready? For you to stand before God and hear that awesome statement. In Romans chapter 13, Paul says this, "Do this knowing the time that now it is high time to awake out of sleep." And here again are the mileposts. The mild person, are you still asleep? You're still thinking only about you, only about what you want and what you're going to do and your physical things and fleshly things as if that's all there is to life? Paul tells the Christians in Rome, knowing the time, it is high time to wake up out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we first believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Isn't it interesting? We look at it the other way around. Day is when we're in our 20s and night is when we're in our 70s and 80s. But Paul says, no, it's actually just the opposite. The closer you get to eternity, the farther night is gone and the day is at hand. Therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. That's our battle. We talked about that in our Bible class this morning. That's our battle. That's what life is all about. Now, we can ignore it. But as I said, when you look back on the things you ignored in high school that you now regret, you just think about that and how it's going to multiply as you look back on your marriage that you didn't take the time and now you're divorced. And you're looking back thinking, I should have done this, this, and this, but I didn't. It's too late. And so the night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let's cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Verse 13, let us walk properly as in the day. Not in revelry and drunkenness, not in lewdness and lust, not in strife and envy. Those are things we're going to regret when we're in our 80s. Those are the things that you can't look back on, oh, that I had so much fun in those. No, you didn't. You just did so much damage. In 1988, I introduced the Etch-a-Sketch. Now, some of you don't know what an Etch-a-Sketch is, so I went ahead and put one up. because I thought it was interesting. This was an Etch-a-Sketch. I had one of these as a kid. I spent hours on it. And what I loved about it is, once you got done with the picture, you could turn it over and shake it. And the reason I put Muhammad Ali on here, I like the picture. I don't know how well you can see it, but those are all pictures of Muhammad Ali. And you know something? I don't remember if it was in his 50s or 60s when he was afflicted with a terrible ailment that they traced directly back to his boxing years that allowed him to no longer be able to function as a human being. He became an animal, had no ability to reason, no ability to think. Don't you think he could wish that he could take that Etch-a-Sketch and turn it over and shake it? And that's the beauty of the Christian life. We can do that. You may be in a situation right now where you can look and you can see, I'm heading in a direction just like going down the freeway at 70 miles an hour in the wrong lane. And so here come the headlights. And so we need to realize that it is high time to wake out of sleep. Now I realize we just covered that verse. But think about the implications with that Etch-a-Sketch about how we can go back. A lot of the things that we really regret, we can still fix. But the day comes when death comes, or the deadline passes, and there's no longer any way to fix it. Then I introduced, a few years later, the hourglass. Because the sands of time are going through. And you can find yourself here. Some of you are here. Whoops, some of you are here. You're just starting your life. Some of us are middle-aged. Some of us are getting old. And some of us, we see the last bit of sand going through the glass. And I think the hourglass is a pretty good illustration for life. We start out when we're born with this full thing of sand. Now, some of us, like I said, like that kid day before yesterday was killed at 18. He thought he had the full glass. Turned out the sands of time were already drawing to a close for him. And so we don't know. We have no idea what's going to happen tomorrow. But the time to think about it is why we still have an opportunity to do something about it. And so I think these hourglasses are a pretty good way of looking at our life. And you can find yourself somewhere up here is where you are. You may think, well, I'm here, but reality is maybe you're not. Well, what verse did I use for that? Well, the same one. Knowing the time. It's high time to wake up. For we will surely die, become like water spilled on the ground, which cannot be gathered up again. Now that's how that young man is. That's how that 18-year-old girl killed herself in Utah. That 18-year-old boy was killed here all this week. Like water spilled on the ground. A lot of regrets. Some people are saying, I'm not going to that Aurora Mall anymore. I read yesterday that two people were killed there this year. Well, you don't read about that at Southlands or Parkland or any of these other places. I don't know, or Park Meadows. I don't know if I want to go to that one. That's where that terrible shooting was a few years ago. It's a terrible situation. Water spilled on the ground. You do not know what will happen tomorrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor. You know, we plan. I'm going to live to be 80, and I'm going to do this and this and this and this. And what does James say? You don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. What is your life? It is just a vapor that appears for a little time and vanishes away. I was touched by death at 19. For some reason, God bless me, I never had to deal with death, but my best friend wrapped his car around a tree and it blew up as soon as he hit it. And he died at 19. I had preached and preached and preached to him, and he had told me, I'm just not interested now, come back in a few years. Well, I saw that car wrapped around a tree on the front page of the paper, and then that night my mom came in and told me your best friend was in that car. Changes the way you see life. Forever. That's what death does. When my parents died, I realized something about life. It's an illusion. You think it's stable. You think that everything's going to stay the same, and one day the most important people in your life are gone. You don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. We need to be living for today.
watch.
In 2009, I introduced the alarm clock. Because I thought, you know, an alarm clock would be a good way to develop a sermon. And of course, Romans would fit there. But what does the sound of the alarm clock mean? Time for sleep is over. Time to work. That's what happens. That's what when the alarm clock goes off, the day of your graduation. When the alarm clock goes off, the day you get married. When the alarm clock goes off, the day that you start your career. When the alarm clock goes off, on the day that you retire, or the day that your children leave home. There is opportunities, and then they quit. They quit. And so, Ephesians 5:14, wake up, you who sleep. Arise from the dead, and Christ will shine upon you. Or 1 Thessalonians, let us not sleep, but let us be sober. All our life is like the alarm clock. Deadlines, if we sleep them away, they're gone. And like I said, I don't have to go very far. If you're in your 30s, you've already got those deadlines that have passed, and you can't go back and fix it. And you may really regret that you didn't do certain things. But let me tell you, it just gets worse as you go along. The regrets become deeper. The consequences become more severe. And let me tell you, when you stand before God on the judgment day, you almost made it. Or if you stand before God on the judgment day and you did make it, how do you want that to be? As we look at our lives, and again, I don't want to belabor this because I know I've said it enough times now. As a matter of fact, I had this thing in my mind as we were going through. So let's just skip through this. I think we've all been brought to face to face with that. So in Psalms 90, verses 10 through 12, God tells us, look, you've got 70, maybe 80. Some people get into their 90s, but you know something? As you move from your 80s to your 90s, life becomes tough. Now, like God said, some people only make it into their 70s, but by reason of strength into their 80s, and some people get into their 90s. But you know something? If you say, well, I'm going to live to be 100, well, still. You know how quickly that's going to go down? Think about how much time's gone by already. Youth, adult, middle age, golden years, and the Bible talks about dark days. Sometimes those dark days start in youth. We've all read about people who get these terrible cancers, lose arms, lose legs, have to have their brain operated on in their youth. Some people it happens in middle age. Some people get to their golden years. Building a marriage, raising children, building a career, working in the local church. The first three are just illustrations. The last one, what God wants us to be so concerned about. And like I said, we've spent 2020, it's gone. Now next week I'm going to preach a lesson on, that I've also been doing for years, on Happy New Year. What's going to happen this year? We're going to deal with our regrets today, repent of them, get rid of them, move on, and then next year we'll talk about, well, let's try to do better. Let's try to do better. In 2000, oops, I guess this one, yeah. I talked about life's inversion. We begin setting goals for the future. When will we drive? When will we graduate? When will we get married? When will we have children? When will we start our career? We're looking forward. But when we pass all those major goals, we start going backwards. Now we're dealing with anniversaries. Now we're dealing with, here's what I did, and now it's done. And here's what I did, and now it's done. And this is how many years since it's been done. I retired in such and such a year. And it's fascinating how first we look forward, then we look backward. And for some people, that's all we do. We never make the connection. Wait a minute, where are we heading here? Why is it that these things are happening? So anniversaries, reunions, birthdays, they become mileposts. Children leave home, we look at retirement, our hair turns gray, our bodies begin to decay. God set birth and death as key milestones in life. Key time periods, critical decisions need to be made. Because, as I said, a lifetime of regret is terrible. An eternity of regret would be unbearable. We need to be prepared. Jesus said, I tell all of you, you need to be watching. We brought nothing into this world. Argue with me with that. You didn't bring anything into the world. You came out of your mother's womb completely naked. And it's certain you're not going to carry anything out. How'd you use this year? Was it all for physical things? Or were there some spiritual things? It is appointed to man to die once. After this, the judgment. God has been trying to tell us that from the very beginning. Even in the garden, God told Eve and Adam, in the day you eat it, you'll surely die. And if Jesus hadn't come, that judgment would have been the second death. For everything, there's a season and a time for every purpose under heaven. A time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant, a time to pluck up that which is planted. Where are you? Be happy with our decisions in 2019 based on an eternal judgment where God is going to be assessing our lives, and there's absolutely nothing we can do. You can scoff at it now, you can laugh at it now, but let me tell you something. When you're there, you will be terrified. It is a fearful thing, God says, to fall into the hands of the living God. And so, out with the old, in with the new. Rejoice, O young man, in your youth, and let your heart cheer you in the days of your youth. Walk in the ways of your heart and in the sight of your eyes. But never forget, you will be judged. Childhood and youth is vanity. So, again, teach us to number our days. Let us lay aside every weight, the sin which so easily ensnares us, and run with endurance the race that is set before us. So here's an interesting, maybe next year that'll be my new one. I'll have a race, and we'll have mileposts on the race. We'll talk about it like that. But this is an interesting concept. We're running a race. There's certain places we need to be at certain ages. Is that how we're living our life? Where are you on those mileposts? Where are you in your race? I remember an old song back when I was a kid. I think of Pink Floyd. It said, you missed the starting gun. No one told you when to run. It's talking about people that were in high school and they just never quite kicked in. Now they're in their 30s and 40s. We call them hippies. People that don't have any goals, any plans, any life. No real excitement in their life. You missed the starting gun. Well, the beauty of it is, next week we'll talk about that starting gun and how we can get started. But if you're going to gain a heart of wisdom, you need to number your days. So let's take an inventory. This is my last slide. How are we doing with our Bible reading? Do you know the Bible at all? If I say we're going to turn over to Ecclesiastes, can you even find it? I always make fun of the people in Malawi because they can't. They don't know where they are. They've never learned the books of the Bible. You say, well, that'd be kind of a waste of time. No, it's actually a very valuable use of your time because if you need to find a verse, if you know where the books are, you can find them. But more than that, we need to know what's in those books. What does each book contain? And what about each chapter? What about each verse? What about the words? What about the people? There's a lot to learn, just like in high school. If you want to be a successful Christian, you've got to be educated. Just like if you want to be a successful human being, you've got to be educated. How about prayer? We learned how to talk to God yet? Have we learned to listen to God? Sins of ignorance, are we looking for? Sins of commission. To him who knoweth to do good, but doesn't do it, him it is sin. Sins of omission. 2 Peter, add to your faith virtue, knowledge, self-control, perseverance, godliness, brotherly kindness, and love. Putting off the old man, putting on the new man. Where are we at? What did we do this year? You've lost a year. It's gone. Can't get it back. You can do better next year. But you can't go back and change anything that's already gone. That's the problem with that hourglass. It's trickling, trickling, trickling. And some of us are looking in the mirror, and we got that gray hair now. I still can't believe I have gray hair. I still think of myself as an 18-year-old. And it's funny. People, when they were 65 and I was 18, I said, what's the matter with you? Why would you talk like that? Now I know. You'll know someday. It's the way life is. If you can't understand what it's like to be old, just be patient. You'll figure it out. You're getting there. You say, well, what's the alternative? Well, the alternative is to die young. That's not the alternative we want. And so, brethren, as we pick up our song of encouragement now, we need to make a decision if there's anything to be made. 2000. See, I'm so old, I can still think of 1900. 2019 is gone. If you've got any sins, don't bring them into 2020. Leave them behind today. If you need to go home and repent of something and make some goals, that's what the next thing's going to be about. Now, first we've got to repent of those things we haven't done that we should have done, but now we've got to be proactive. I mean, I didn't like the way I went through high school, but I learned from that, and I've done a lot better since high school. I've realized how foolish I was, not taking those classes and studying and trying to learn something, just going through life, thinking life's just a dream. Row, row, row your boat. As we sing this song, number 329, is there something you need to do today? Is today the day you need to make your life right with God? Someday you got to do it, or you'll never do it. Is today the day you need to repent of that sin that you're so ashamed of and you don't want your brethren to know about, but it's there? And until you get rid of it, it's just guilt clouding the way that we live. If you're dealing with a sin that you need to take care of individually and privately, I don't want you coming forward this morning. I just want you to go home and take care of it. But as we sing this song, let's make some decisions. Resolutions. That's what this next week is going to be about. New Year's resolutions. What am I going to do better? Well, before you can do better as a Christian, you've got to leave behind what you didn't do better. If we have regrets, let's ask God to forgive them, wash them away in the blood of Christ. Move on. If we can help you in any way, would you please come and let us know while we do ministry and sing.